Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to SBPRA Radio. I'm your host, Charles Green. Chantel, do we have you on the line? Chantel, do we have you on the line?
I hear you. Do you hear me?
Yes, I do. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm quite well. So we're here to talk about your book, New Beginnings, The Reviving of a Kingdom, The Chronicles of Sambria. If you could do me a favor and tell our listeners a little bit about the book in your own words.
Well, it's about a group of teenagers who were ejected from their magical kingdom when they were very small. And you're kind of jumping in the middle of their story, I guess, where they're growing up and realizing that they're not the normal people, and they're slowly discovering their past and where they really come from in this book. So it's a mystery suspense.
Excellent. So you say where they come from. Can you tell us a little bit about this kingdom they come from?
It's a magical medieval type of kingdom that it's a couple of generations old that they had to evacuate from because they had an enemy invade them.
Okay. And our hero is Zach, correct?
Yes.
And so what is Zach's journey in this story? Who is he New Beginnings, The Reviving of a Kingdom?
He's one of the children, one of the nobles that is in the same boat as all the rest. And he's kind of working as a team in this book, keeping his identity kind of a secret, but he just has a really strong desire to figure out this kingdom, and the adults are sort of keeping them away from it. So he's kind of the leader of this group that's just trying to figure out what's going on.
Excellent. It's a fascinating read. So where did you get these ideas from? Because they're very original, and especially for young adult fiction. Very adult themes of growth, of discovery, of this divided kingdom. Where did this all start for you?
Well, when I was 12, I discovered a scientific superstition in my science book while I was reading one day. And I didn't really know what I was going to do with it, but I just knew it was something that science couldn't explain. And so I knew I could do anything with that. And a couple years later, my sister got these strange dreams. You know, all of our dreams are weird, right? And she
said, of course.
I don't know. I know, right? It's like, I don't know if you can use these, but I think they could kind of work with something, because it seemed to be she had like a continuing story going on in her head. And so as I wrote them down and kept thinking about the scientific thing that I discovered, it seemed to be that it was all just coming together over a couple of years. And then by the time I was 17, I looked at the story and just like, wow, I never thought it would be what it turned out to be. So,
well, incredible to start that young. And so to combine science and then the dream world, what sort of scientific theories were these specifically?
I don't want to give it away because you'll kind of find out in the book. But it's something to do with the weather, in the sky. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
You don't want to
give it all away. I understand that. So you've been writing since you were 12. Was it just the idea when you started out, or were you actually putting pen to paper as a middle schooler?
I actually started writing when I think I was 11, and it wasn't even this story. It was another idea, and it wasn't until I was like 14 that I actually started writing this actual story, and I realized that the one that I had written when I was younger was kind of like a backing to it, or it added depth. Like, it was kind of just a bunch of random thoughts, but I did actually start writing when I was 11.
That's very impressive. So this whole sort of mythology that you've built in this world is very complex and very compelling. And I was wondering, who are some influences of yours, of other authors that perhaps you admire and have given you direction?
J.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, Narnia. I love Narnia as a kid. That was, like, my favorite thing. I literally was looking for the wardrobe. But, so Narnia, Lord of the Rings, and I also liked, being a girl, I also like Pride and Prejudice and Jane Eyre. And so I kind of have in my book, it's a balance between the medieval action, but yet the relationships and stuff to suit for all audiences. So those are my stories and authors that I really liked.
That's great. As a man, I love Jane Eyre and Bronte and all of that. I mean, it's, and that's what I, you know, in this book, it's human stories. It's a fantasy world. And a lot of the times you'll read and it's just about the action and this and that. But here, I mean, I see those relationships, not to give anything away, but, you know, Zach's romance, all of that, are very, very adult. And yet I would say accessible for younger audiences. And who is the audience that you're writing for? Who are your readers?
I wrote it in mind for high schoolers, a few junior hires, and maybe college students could enjoy it as well, but mainly high schoolers. I have found, with it being out for 6 months, that I have a lot of junior hires that really like it from the ages of, like, even elementary, like 9 to the age of, like, 13 or 14, seem to be really enjoying it. But my goal is to be for high schoolers because that's the age that the characters are. They're all in high school.
Right, yeah, and I saw that on Amazon. You have nothing but glowing reviews all over, all very high, and I saw some that said, you know, I'm a 13-year-old, I'm et cetera, that my son read this, and I think it's a sign of a great book that it can reach younger and older is fantastic. I mean, if you look at the success of a Harry Potter, you know, you have everywhere from elementary school kids to full-grown adults in their 40s and 50s reading it. So
yeah.
that's great, and that takes a lot of insight as a writer. So you were 12 when you started it, and now you are how old?
I'm 19.
You're 19, and you are in college, is that correct?
Yes, I'm in the middle of
where
it.
Where are you? where, if you don't mind my asking, where are you attending?
I'm attending a small college in Kentucky. It's really small. I don't think anyone would know. It's Commonwealth Baptist College. But it's a really good college. I'm studying music, and I'm really enjoying it there.
Music. So being a writer, is that your goal for your adulthood, or is this just a passing phase where your immense talent is just going to be in these books?
I like writing and I like music, but when it comes to college, I wanted to do music more because I felt like, I don't know, I'm not an English person. I know it's weird, but I just like to write. I don't like to do grammar and study literature or anything. I just like to read and write. So to go to study English in college or writing, I didn't want the whole package. For music, I like everything about it. So in the college aspect, I really like studying music because that's my second love.
Well, that's fair enough. You have the raw talent for the writing, and so you don't really need the instruction or the study. And even if you're not a fan of grammar or studying literature, you know, it's clear that there is a lot of influences from other books that you've gotten simply from reading. So if you're a music lover, has music influenced your writing at all? I know for a lot of writers, music can inspire. Is that the case with you?
Yes, totally, definitely. Music is something that I would say it's just as key as the dreams were and everything else. Whenever I was stuck or had a writer's block, music was always, I would just play my piano, or even just, I always write while listening to music, and it always helps me see the emotional side of things, and it gets my brain wandering more. So and the characters are heavily involved in music as well, because I just like music. So yeah, it helps me a lot.
That's terrific. If you don't mind my asking, what music? So what should our readers put on if they want to get in the right mind frame?
Any type of soundtrack type of music, like Narnia or Lord of the Rings, anything that inspired me, that was the music that I listened to. So anything like that type of music.
So very, very epic textured music, much like the book, which has a great end. So this is our first installment, and how many installments are you planning?
I'm planning on 3 total, but I mean, it's all over the place. I started out with 6 and now we're going back down. So I'm thinking 3, but there's no guarantees. So.
Well, that's great. And it's great to be able to kind of build this. So you're in college. Will you start?
I lost you. Where'd you go? I can't hear you. Hello, Charles. I can't hear you anymore. I lost you. Charles. What do I do?
Shanda, I'm so sorry. We're having technical difficulties, and my microphone was cut off for me, so I'm so sorry. Would you be able to repeat what you said? And we will edit
about
it later,
what?
I promise.
About what?
About the process of where you'll be going from here with the next books.
Oh, I do plan to write in college. I am writing right now. I've kind of been working on all 3 of the books at once. So it's a constant project. I don't know when it'll come out because I don't know how long it'll take me to get it all together. But I am continuing to write. I just have no idea when it's going to come out.
Well, that's good. You don't want to plan too far ahead. And will you be able to tell us a little bit of what we might look forward to in the next books, or is that top secret?
In this book, you'll find that you're confused about a lot of things. Like, at the end of the book, you're probably thinking, whoa, there's a lot going on. So I kind of intend to explain and answer some of the questions that a reader might have by the end of this series in kind of a flashback format with continuing on, which I won't say what we're continuing on with, but you're gonna get some more history of why they're in such a political mess and why they split and why there's such issues going on while you continue
and
to move on.
That's great, and that's something that I wanted to ask you about is the politics, and that's what, I think a sign of a great young adult novel, for high school is that it deals with real issues. And so this politics, this division in the kingdom, what inspired that? Was that anything in real-world politics or just something?
I'm not sure. The politics seem to, just enter in all by themselves. Like, I didn't really plan it. It was kind of one of those things that slipped in while looking back. I just liked the idea of a divided kingdom, but all the rest of the stuff kind of just, it fell into place. I didn't really, plan it. I don't know. It was interesting. I was like, oh, there's a lot of politics in here. I don't know how that happened. I mean, my family is, we like to talk about politics a lot. So I'm sure I always have that going around in the back of my head. But I didn't, plan it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah, your unconscious mind. But I think it's important. And I think a divided, you could say that our country is divided in its own way, not quite as literally. But I think that it's prescient that way, the book. So when it comes to your characters, you wrote, you have female characters, but you as well as Zach. What made you decide to write a male protagonist, especially being a fan of Jane Austen and Bronte? Was there any reason you chose a male protagonist?
I just think the focus should be on guys. I don't know. I just feel like ladies are supposed to support, like guys are supposed to be leaders. And that's how I always picture it. And I find myself liking to write about guys more because they're the unknown, I guess. Like, I know I'm a girl, so it's like, oh, I know everything about me. But to write, to dig into, like, how a guy would think and stuff, it was kind of fun, like, as a discovery portion. And I've always liked having guys being the main focus. I just do.
Sure, and, you know, historically you've had that. And I love that idea of you trying to explore something other than yourself. I mean, obviously the book itself, being in the realm of fantasy, is already different, and yet, you know, further exploring a male, and yet you're able to do it so well, getting into the minds of all of these different characters, and the enemy. So what can you tell us about the enemy, if you will, in this book?
It's very secret. He's dark. There's a combination of them that all work together, of spirits and actual physical enemies. But it's a secret.
So what inspired you to use this level of sort of mystery for the enemy, the unknown, rather than in your Lord of the Rings, you have your Sauron and you have the witch in C.S. Lewis and all of these sort of things. What inspired you? And I love this idea of the mysterious enemy. Where did you get that from?
I guess I just love suspense so much. And also the feelings that I had while writing this book was very suspenseful in itself, because each day or each week I would get a seer, her dream, or a new idea. And so it was very piece by piece and mysterious for me. And so I guess that kind of just slipped into the book. I felt like when I was writing, it was like an adventure. Sometimes it didn't turn out the way I thought it would, or the story was going in a different direction that I didn't really plan, but that just seemed to be the way it was going. So that just seemed to be the feel that I had, so I wanted to make it the same for the reader. It was just, it was very suspense, and I do like suspense. I always have. So
that's great. I mean, so your journey was kind of like the reader's journey, and our journey is like your journey. And I think that's great. I think that's a great, you know, kind of organic way to write a book. So now that you're in college and away from home, are you going to have to be calling your sister every morning to ask her dreams to continue the book?
No, she kind of seemed to not be dreaming anymore. I think she kind of got me going, and I kind of already have the whole story in my mind, at least the big parts of it. And so I just kind of have to fill in the blanks. So she's kind of got me set now. We haven't talked about her dreams in a really long time because I haven't really needed them. I got enough to work on.
So how does it, I mean, your family must be so proud of you to be a published author at the age of 19. What do they think of the book?
My sister knows everything about it, so she's happy, but she wasn't like super shocked. My mom was really, really thrilled. I didn't tell her about any of it. I mean, I told her I was going to write a book, but I didn't tell her about the development of it till I was 17. So she was really shocked to see like the end product. She didn't really think that I could do all that. So she was super thrilled. And my brother was really excited about it too. So they're happy and proud. But
I'm sure. I mean, did they know that you were a writer, do you have writers in your family and artists, or did this kind of just come out of, much like the inspiration of the book, kind of just come out of the ether?
It came just out of the middle of nowhere. I just remember sitting at the kitchen table telling my mom when I was 11, I was like, Mom, I'm going to write a book. And to be honest, she didn't tell me this till afterwards, but she really doubted But I was getting, like, she went along with, like, okay, it's just a phase, it'll go away, you know, she's 11 years old, whatever. But, because I couldn't write, I was terrible at writing. It was a nightmare. But, so my mom, she just went with it. I was really bad at writing. And so I actually learned how to write through writing in my book. I was homeschooled for most of my secondary education. And so that was, like, my English class was learning to write. And so I think my mom is really happy with the book because she sees not just a book, but, like, wow, my daughter can write now. Like, this is how she learned to be a successful writer. And I don't think I would have caught on in any other way. So I think that's how she sees it.
That's fantastic. I think that's wonderful. And yeah, and the fact that you were homeschooled means that so much of this really just did come out of you, that, you know, you had your mom and you had your books, but did you take any creative writing classes over the summer, or have you ever gotten any instruction in writing, or was it all just you and Tolkien alone in a room teaching you what you know?
I did take a few classes when I was younger. My mom, when we first started, she was like, okay, we got to take a few classes, and, you know, so we're starting on the right. But I didn't, maybe they helped me, but at the time, they were just miserable. So we stopped doing those after a while. I just read a ton of books and just watched movies and just, I don't know, it just came out. I'm shocked myself. Like, wow, I have a book. So it just literally came out. I have no idea how, but.
Well, that's, and do you have any advice then for, I'm sure there's plenty of other 11 and 12-year-olds out there who want to sit down at the kitchen table and they tell their mom they want to write a book, and they probably want to be as successful as you are and clearly will be. Do you have any advice for young writers out there who might be listening?
Just let it come when it comes. Like, don't plan. Or some writers, they say you've got to write every day, or you've got to study, or you've got to research, you've got to know just exactly what you're writing. I found all that really just bothersome. Just stream, read, and just be inspired. Just let it come. And if nothing comes, that's okay. There was, like, 2 years where we had nothing going on. I just didn't write anything. I just thought and read and just, I said, it'll come. The idea will come, because it's got to come from you, not somebody else. You've got to put a bunch of stuff in and just let it come out. So that's it's either in you or it's not. Like, it's not something you can teach. That's kind of my idea of it. So just read and just take it, go for the adventure.
That sounds like advice that's perfect for young writers and probably for adult writers too. I think that's great. So that means that we all have to be on the edge of our seats for when the next one will come out, because we have to just wait on inspiration then, don't we?
Yes, you do.
Well, that's fine. Well, I mean, you've written. I think everyone will be fine with the wait, because this book is really blowing up, and I think it's the kind of book that people will read and reread and recommend to their friends, and you might have whole high schools reading it before you know it, assuming that's something you would like.
Yes, it has a lot of leadership qualities, and I could see, my mom's a teacher, and so she always views things through a teaching aspect, and she says that it could easily be a book discussion for schools, because it has so much character development of how to become a successful leader or hero one day. It's not just packed with action, like you said earlier. So I hope so.
Yeah. Well, that's great, and I think that's important that a book, you know, a book should be entertaining, you know, of course, to engage a reader, but I think that it has a lesson and that it teaches something, much like your heroes, Tolkien or C.S. Lewis. I mean, they all definitely have a certain message to take away, and I think that's wonderful that you've written this book that is engaging, mysterious, and educational. So I recommend this book to everyone. Is there anything else you want to say to your future fans out there?
Just enjoy it. I wrote it for
enjoy
you.
Enjoy it.
So it's for you guys. It's not for me. It's for you. So enjoy it.
That's a very, very humble and wonderful attitude for a young author, and we can't wait for the next ones. So, Chantel, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, so that was Chantel Ruppel. Her book, New Beginnings, The Revising of a Kingdom, The Chronicles of Sambria, is available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and sbprabooks.com/Chantel Ruppel. This has been SBPRA Radio with your host, Charles Green. Have a wonderful evening and read on. Thank you. Bye.